America should be grateful to God for the blessings he's given us.
Don't let anyone tell you that America's best days are behind her.
We have got to fight for this nation because I believe with all my heart this nation is in fact one nation under God.
Welcome back, Financial History. I like that opener for the second hour. That is fairly new. I don't usually listen to it, but I'm always doing something, but I like that. So, you know, you got to love those Ronald Reagan clips. Wow. Anyway, we're going to get to calls. It's Rapid Fire Friday. We're going to stay with it. Thank you all for being with us. We sure do appreciate you for being with us. Let me just say this. Those of you who follow me on Twitter have seen some of this, but, you know, I'm kind of surprised that my Beijing tweet, quoting a tweet that was sent out by China President Xi, that's getting some ground. I don't know if you follow me on Twitter, but why you haven't retweeted that? I sent out this tweet, and I did get some criticism on it, but that's good. But nonetheless, you know, Dick's Sporting Goods, you know, I made a comment on Twitter saying that, so Dick's Sporting Goods is eliminating, this goes to some things I was talking about this socially conscious corporate America, but Dick's Sporting Goods eliminating their hunting category, including their firearms in about 125 stores. And I said that, and then I said another brilliant marketing decision, putting their ideology ahead of their business. Sporting goods for the PC shopper. I said, so sweet, bless their heart. And then I put, go Bass Pro Shop. This is lunacy. And you know, if you're gonna run a sporting goods store, whether you're flipping hamburgers at a hamburger joint, if you're building tractors, whatever it is you're doing, can you do it to the fullest extent that you can do it to gain the greatest market share that you can gain? But this is a typical place where the ideology of management, they are putting that first above their customers, number one. I mean, I can't say they're putting it above their customers, because all of these customers are leaving and say, I don't know why I ever left Bass Pro Shop to begin with. So they're leaving. But it is insanity. Make decisions that are good for your company. Don't make decisions that stroke your ideology and your political correctness. Put it aside for a moment and do what is right for your business. This is a Dick's Sporting Goods, is a sporting goods store that came out of the heart of hunting. I mean, this is an upstate New York company that was founded on fishing and hunting. That's what it was. That's what this was all about. And they're going to get rid of that. Well, you know, we don't need it. We don't have to worry about our core values. Our core values are being politically correct. We don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry. Why do we want to appeal to a bunch of fishermen and hunters that are probably conservatives anyway? Why do we want to appeal to those? It's insane. So look, if you got to drive an hour and a half to a Bass Pro Shop or Cabela's, man, just do it. Just do it. I mean, this is crazy. So anyway, I got a lot of likes about that, but nobody's retweeting, and I guess they're afraid they're going to insult their politically correct friends that follow them on Twitter. And that's what I kind of expected. I always do when I put a tweet up like this. Nobody retweets it because they don't want to offend anybody. Obviously, I don't care about offending anybody. And that's why my Twitter account generally goes down rather than up, because I send a tweet like this and I lose 200 people. I mean, but, you know, it is what it is. Anyway, got that off my chest. I feel pretty good, too. about that. All right. Let me just answer a couple questions here on social media. We're going to get to phones. We're going to get to our ag report. But so Mike on Facebook is saying, hey, Dan, I'd like to set up a Roth IRA account for my 17-year-old son. He has about $2,000 to start with, wants to contribute $100 a month. What do you recommend? First of all, I recommend if you're going to do that, you go to a brokerage, he can set it up at E-Trade or something like that, or Fidelity.com. Set it up and, put that $2,000 in. Follow along. You're probably a partner, Mike. Give him some advice as to what some of the things are that are on the buy list. But I want to give you a warning now that I've told you how to start and where to do that. Little by little, $100 a month, that is awesome. He's going to have more money when he retires and he knows what to do with if he can continue along that. I'd probably tell you to stick with, two of those Timothy ETFs. They're at the bottom of the mutual fund list, ETF 1 and 2. I'd probably split it up equally among those two and just forget about it for a while until it builds up. Then I would begin to diversify through that, the youngest asset allocation model. But let me just say this. Remember, this is money for retirement. This is a 17-year-old guy. He may enter the workforce when he leaves high school, or he may go to college. Either way, it doesn't matter. But I do know this. He's going to have a lot of life-changing events. Things like needing to buy a car, needing to buy a truck maybe if he starts a business out of high school or gets into the trades, wanting to buy a house someday, wanting to start a family someday, maybe have to move to another city because of work, pay for school. He's going to have some life-changing events that are going to cost money. And I don't want you to include this IRA, this Roth IRA, as his savings. Critically important that you don't do that. He's going to need savings for those life-changing events that he is yet to go through. So keep that in mind as you're saving for retirement at a very young age. He might want to put a $50 a month in it, put $50 a month in savings so that he can keep a hold on that. Great question. Thank you, Mike. Folks, we got our ag report coming up. Soon as we get back, nothing but phones for the next 2 hours or hour and 45 minutes. We'll be back right after Craig Haggart, and we're going to get right to phones.
This is Craig Haggart with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Well, corn experienced a choppy market yesterday before eking out a slightly higher close. The Pro Farmer Tour is giving traders pretty much what they expected. So many folks are kind of viewing it as an anticlimactic event. On the other hand, we're now within a nickel of where we were trading back in May when the market was expecting us to plant 92.5 million acres of corn and have a national average yield of 176 bushels per acre. So I have to believe that in the short term at least, the path of least resistance may lie to the upside. Soybeans were choppy as well, but finished lower for the session. The session seemed to be a tug of war between disappointing pod counts coming out of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour and the outlook for beneficial weather. Weather won this round, and thus we were lower at the close. Wheat had better than expected weekly export sales of 21.8 million bushels. This helped propel the Chicago and Kansas City winter wheat futures to a higher close, while Minneapolis spring wheat futures fell victim to the weight of the ongoing harvest and closed lower for the session. Cotton futures had a rough outing yesterday, with December futures down an even dollar as they closed at $58.94. And livestock futures were a mixed bag, with cattle higher and hogs lower. October live cattle finished the day 87.5 cents higher, while the September feeder cattle were $1.12.5 higher at the closing bell. Lean hog futures had a negative day, with the October futures down an even dollar at the close. Class 3 milk futures really got roughed up yesterday, with the September futures down 32 points as they settled at 1723. And the cash livestock markets offered up more bad news than good yesterday as well. The day ended with choice beef boxes $2.46 lower as they settled at $239.28, while selects were 21 cents higher for the day, closing at $215.91. In hogs, the pork carcass values finished $1.30 lower as they settled at $79.94 per hundredweight. This has been Craig Haggart with your Financial Issues Ag Update. We'll be right back with more financial issues after this.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I was just commenting to the guys in the production room. I was talking about Twitter, and, you know, I thought it was a great tweet that I put out. Every once in a while, I say something that you can read and kind of hear the sarcasm in it. But, you know, I was talking about Dick's Sporting Goods, and I sent out this tweet, and I said, I'm surprised that nobody retweeted it, because I guess they didn't retweet it because they didn't want to offend their PC correct friends. Obviously, I don't care about it. I'm sure I lost a number of followers when I put it up there this morning. And already now seven people have retweeted it in that time. So, hey, that's the way, guys. Don't worry. Look, you got to tell them the truth. You got to show them the truth. They're still going to be your friend, I think, I hope. But it's okay. It's good stuff. It's just funny. I'm glad I mentioned it. Same with that Beijing tweet. You know, I just, the Beijing, the communist regime living in their communist twilight zone. I just don't, they're just dreaming. But anyway, all right, we're going to get the phones. Here we go. Let me go to John. I'm sorry, John in Texas. Hey, John.
I'm Dan. I'm a first-time caller.
Welcome.
And I'm going to be 78 next month, and I recently got some funds from a deceased uncle.
Uh-huh.
And I put those funds in my credit union on a six-month CD.
Okay.
And I have about $24,000. I primarily live on Social Security and a pension. What should I, after the 6 months is over, how can I allocate that $25,000?
Well, I can't give you too many specifics because I probably wouldn't say the same thing 6 days from now that I would say today, let alone 6 months, but we got to see how things pan out. But I would say in general, what you want to do, maybe consider, is putting that in, maybe not all of it. Let's say, you know, maybe $20,000, $18,000 of it in maybe something that is going to produce a little bit of a higher return than the CD. Something that can maybe get 5% or so. Now, there would be risk with that, but there wouldn't be any risk, or very, I shouldn't say any, there would be very little risk on the income part of it. So if you're in something, let's say a utility stock that is paying 5%, there may be a little risk of the 5% going to, you know, 4%. But not a whole lot, but there would be some volatile in the value of it going down a little bit, but there would also be the possibility of the value of it going up a little bit. But the income would stay pretty steady, and it would be a little better than a CD. The other possibility would be a charitable gift annuity that's going to say, hey, we're going to pay you on that $18,000. I'm making this number up. I don't know what it would be. That 4.5% every year, and it's never, ever going to change for the rest of your life. And that might be a possibility as well. But I would have to wait and see, you know, where things are at the end of 6 months. So I think you did the right thing with it now by putting it in that CD. But if you want to try to generate a little bit more income, you might have to take a little bit more risk or less risk and put it in a charitable gift annuity.
I'm new to investing.
Yes.
What can I do to increase my knowledge base? What would you recommend?
Well, the best way to always do it, which you really can't do because you haven't started yet, but I always like, you know, if you had any kind of brokerage account. So let's say you went to Fidelity or to TD Ameritrade probably has a branch somewhere near you that you could drive to, and you went into that branch and opened up an account. you went into that branch and opened up an account, then you can begin to go through some of the things they offer without doing any of it. But you'll be able to read and understand and see and get explanations that would probably be very helpful to you.
How about I'm a veteran, and I have some financial arrangements with USAA.
Yeah.
Do you recommend them in lieu of?
Well, no. USAA just sold their investment side of things to Charles Schwab. So they're no longer they may offer those mutual funds still, but it's all going through Charles Schwab. So I'm not sure what that looks like, whether you get an actual Charles Schwab account. And in that case, then yes, it would be good because you could go through their site and start to examine and read some of the things that would be helpful to you.
Do you recommend TD Ameritrade over Charles Schwab?
No, I think they're both the same. I think they do the same. I don't think I recommend one over another.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that. And 6 months from now, you'll probably have some more questions when you're ready to make that move. Thank you. I sure do appreciate it. Let me go to Mark. It's Rapid Fire Friday. We're trying to move quickly. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to thank you. I've been listening, but not a member. I've been listening for a while whenever I could. And you just seem so honest. And I just, unlike anybody else that's out there, they always want to make you a client and start charging you a fee. But, I mean, you just seem so honest. And your views seem to be in line with mine. And so I'm going to probably join real soon. I just wanted to give you that compliment on the air because I feel like you're helping a lot of people that need help in this area. So,
well, you know what, Mark, that's a real encouragement to me. And you're from Florida, and you know, I haven't been on the air for, depending on where you are in Florida, but for a long, long time. But I sure appreciate that because it's such an encouragement to me. It's what we try to do. I don't want to have an agenda, and I don't, and I really do want to help people. And we're having a great time, and I know as we help people, it's going to be good for a lot of other people. So I sure appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to be retiring in a few years, and so I need to. I've been paying a lot of attention to my money over the years, but I need to refine it better. So that's why I've been listening to you. And
well, good. And I hope you'll keep listening, Mark. Thank you so much. And tell people, spread the word for us. We sure would appreciate it.
Yes. Northeast Florida is where I'm
Northeast Florida. Okay, great. Yeah, up in the Jacksonville area. Yeah.
Yeah, in that area. Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Great. Oh, that's great.
Okay.
Thanks, Mark. I sure appreciate you. God bless.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Good stuff, man. What an encouragement. It's always great to hear from new listeners. And, you know, the stations up in Jacksonville have been very good to us. And I think one of them, I'm not sure which one it is airing all 3 hours. And it sure is a joy. And by the way, folks, you can go on our website and click on how to hear us or where we're located, financialissues.org. And you get a list of stations broken down by state. So you can go to the state. You can see where we're listed, maybe a TV network that's listing. We're on 70 different TV outlets or one of those stations in your state, maybe near you as well. We have a phone app. Just go to any apps, your app store on your phone, and you can download Financial Issues. And you can listen on your phone app as well. And you can listen on our website. You can watch on our website Financial Issues. If you have Amazon TV or a Roku box or Apple TV or one of those, we have a channel, FISM.TV, FISM.TV. If you go to any one of those, you can, you know how, I'm you know better than me, but I know when you have one of those, you download channels that you want to have on your TV, and you would just download the Financial Issues, FISM, Financial Issue Stewardship Ministries, but FISM, you download the channel, and you can watch all our programming, 700 Club, CBN News, Financial Issues News, as we build that and grow that, our program, other programming that we have and new programming that we're starting to have. So you can do that as well. All right, let me go to Jim in South Carolina. Hey, Jim.
Hey, good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
Want to tell you, first of all, I appreciate your ministry. Use your name and reference it quite often in my Sunday school class, trying to get a lot more people on board to listen to your program. So I just want you to know that these people who listen in, we appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much. That's an encouragement too, Jim. Thank you.
So I have a question about some finances. As far as financial lingo, I'm probably not at the top of my game as far as understanding a lot of these things. But just to give you some history, and maybe you can point me in the right direction.
Okay.
I'm 68 years old, and I have been investing through the company that I work for, retired about 3 years ago, for 44 years. And I've seen this investing grow just beyond my wildest dreams, just greatly blessed by God. Mm. And so at this point, I am at this age, my wife is 66 years old. And my question is, should I be trying to invest and play this with the stock market going up and down? Or at this point in my life, should I just maybe tell folks at Edward Jones that I've used to do my investing for me to just, let's just cash out with what we have there and no more rolling the dice of where we're at financially. The amount is just beyond what I ever dreamed possible. So I'm just wondering, do I need to be taking any risk from this point on? Because I've seen from 3 or 4 years ago how far the market has come in that short period of time, and it's phenomenal.
Jim, I would say no. You don't need to be taking that risk. And I would say you shouldn't take the risk. You know, God has blessed you. You need to earn some interest, and you need to preserve the principle and what he's blessed you with as you tithe and give on that. But I wouldn't take the risk. I would do just what you said. I'd move out and settle in. I'll comment a little bit more. Welcome back. Financial Issues, Rapid Fire Friday. We are staying with phones for the next hour and a half. I hope you're staying with us for that next hour and a half. Folks, I just got several comments about people saying, how can I hear the whole 3 hours of the program? The number one way is you can go to the website. You can go to FISM.TV. You can go to your phone app. There are a lot of stations now, more and more stations every day, playing all 3 hours. If they're not, you need to ask them. People say, can you please go on 3 hours on this station, you know, whatever station they're listening to. I tell you the truth. I mean, I don't have anything to do with that. That's all up to the station. But I'll tell you this much. I know this about every single station that airs my program. They're like all the stations are alike. They love to hear from listeners. Why? Because they never do. And it really does have an impact when you call the station and you say, thank you for airing Financial Issues, or you say, would you air all 3 hours? One of the blessings that has happened lately is that Laura Ingram was in our time slot, or we were in her time slot, whatever. I think actually I've been on the air longer than her, but that 9 to noon. And stations, she is going off the air as she is, you know, growing other businesses and being on Fox every night and those kinds of things. And we have been filling that slot. There have been a lot of stations that have been filling that slot. And you right now can get ahead of the curve. And if they're still airing Laura Ingram, just say, hey, by the way, if she does go off on your network, here's a great fill in. A lot of, you know, we had some big stations in Virginia, in Florida, in recently, where was it? Big station. I want to say, was it Arkansas maybe, or maybe it's the Richmond station, another Virginia station, I don't know. But a number of stations just recently that have done that, and some that have been doing that. So great idea, something for you to think about. Marcia is saying on Facebook, hey, Dan, I've listened to you for a couple years, but I sure wish I found you a couple decades ago. I hear that a lot, Marcia. I'm 63, and I had to retire early due to a chronic health issue. I have about $120,000 in a 403B with a company that has been very helpful, and I'm not sure what to do next. I would really like to move into Timothy. So I would just say that the company that you're with, that's great. They've been very helpful. If you have a lot of confidence in them and you want to stay with them, I would not have a problem with that, obviously, because I think it's extremely important that you're comfortable and you feel like they're doing the right thing by you. If that is the case, keep doing what you're doing. If you want to move into to make sure and you have that conviction in your heart, which I hope more than anything else that you do, to be biblically responsible, and you want to move to Timothy, I would suggest that you do that. But I would do it rather than going directly to Timothy. You might want to go to a brokerage account, any brokerage account like a TD Ameritrade or an E-Trade or, Fidelity.com or Vanguard on their brokerage side. And you follow our asset allocation model for Timothy. I have a Timothy asset allocation model where you can move some money and forget about it. But the reason why I tell you that even Timothy, who started the ETFs that they have, which are great funds, even they can't sell their own ETF because ETFs are more like a stock or treated like a stock from the rules and regulations and environment. And they're not a brokerage company. They're a mutual fund company, and that you need to go to a brokerage. So, but you can at that same brokerage buy their mutual funds, but you can't go to them and buy their ETFs. You can buy their mutual funds, but you can't buy their ETFs. So if you go to this brokerage, you're able to get everything. So I'm just saying that might be something that you want to consider doing. I would check that out. I think it's a great idea, Marcia. Let me go to Vicki in Virginia. Hi, Vicki.
Hey, Dan. Thank you for all you do.
You're welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a quick question. Okay. I think you know that I'm retired. I'm using your income portfolio, and I'm drawing RMDs. My question is, should I have both CS62 and CS80 in that same sector, or are they duplications of processes or not?
Yeah, they're probably not a total duplication, but there's a lot of overlap there. Probably enough that you might want to consolidate or get a different position altogether. Unfortunately, and I this is a good thing, but unfortunately, they both have fallen in very good valuations as far as I'm concerned. They both pay very good dividends. So it's hard to make a case for consolidation. They're very, very equal in their valuations. They're very, very equal in their income, even though there's some overlap there. So both of them, I would consider, if you were calling me and saying I wanted to buy one of them or add to one of them, I would say, hey, you can do it. I would say the same for both of them. So it's really, right now, there may not be a need for that consolidation, but it definitely is some overlap. But the point is, you still have a good, strong position in consumer staples. And, that's the overall sector. And so I'm okay with you owning both of those.
Okay, given all that, I only bought the one that is not on your buy list.
Okay.
Well, so I was wondering if I should buy the other one. After I was waiting for the price to go down. So that's why.
Which one don't you own? The CS?
I own the one with the higher dividend.
Okay.
I'm trying to do that because I know some people are using you, you know, and so, you know, yeah. I just don't want to give away information that
that helps me.
Okay.
That helps me. Yeah. I would go ahead and buy it. I wouldn't have a problem with you buying it.
Okay. So to have those two in that same sector.
Yeah.
Okay. But, and I'm having like three in each sector. So would you advise me to buy another third?
At some point, yes.
Okay, but now it sounds like maybe I shouldn't buy a whole third now. Dollar cost average?
No, I wouldn't buy a whole third.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Right now.
Okay, thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, Vicki. I appreciate you so much.
I appreciate you. Bye-bye.
All right. God bless. Let me go. What's time I got? Let me go to Cecilia. What a great name. From Florida. How are
Hi,
you, Dan. Cecilia?
I am good.
That's my wife's middle name. I know I've told you that before. But
no, you haven't.
Oh, I haven't. Oh, yeah, that's my wife's middle name. She dropped it obviously when she married Celia, but she uses her maiden name. But yeah, anyway.
Well, I feel we're connected. So
yes, definitely.
All right, my question is: my husband is a new partner. He joined recently. We're beginning to start moving our funds around to follow one of the Timothy plans. He has joined at the price where he gets the portfolio tracker.
Yes.
As a couple, our funds are considered our money, but I have retirement money that I'll be moving. I'll keep it in my account. He'll keep it in his and his. Can we use the same portfolio tracker?
Yes, you definitely can. You can do it two different ways. You can add a new portfolio, which is down at the bottom of the one that you already have. So there's room for two. And by the way, we are working. I think it's going to be a while, but we're eventually going to have a lot more multiple opportunities there for portfolios there. But I would do it. Now, I would tell you, and this might not be something you want to do, but I would like to see you put all of it on the same portfolio in the portfolio tracker, both yours and his, because that's going to keep the overall pot of money well diversified, and you get to see where you're over. So you might be able, and I don't know if this is something you would want to do, but you might be able to say, hey, to your husband, hey, you know what? We've got to make a change here in consumer staples, and one of us has to do it because we're overweighted by 25%. And if that goes down, you know, we're going to get clobbered, and we don't want that to happen. So I think that would be a better thing to do, but you can do it either way.
Okay. And it will be able to actually track percentages, you know, down on the second table.
Well, the second table is going to track percentages, but it's not going to track with the model.
Correct.
You know what I mean? And it's not going to do that, unfortunately.
Will it, I can't remember, does it move over into the bar graph? Will I be able to look at that second portfolio on the bar graph and on the pie chart?
Yeah, on the bar graph for that second portfolio?
Yes.
Is that what you mean? Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Dan.
You're welcome. I sure appreciate it.
All right,
folks, we're coming up on break. Our lines are open. We've got an hour and 15 minutes left, and we've got lines open, at least a few anyway. 610-363-1110. 610-363-1110. I'll be right back.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Ciriotto. It's great to be here. Sure appreciate all of you being with us. We have lines open. 610-363-1110. Benjamin is saying, my employer has mandatory 10%. Has a mandatory 10% of income, 401k through Fidelity. But we are only given a select set of funds to invest in. That's the way most are. Almost all of the funds I hold that aren't biblically responsible, and that's the way most 401ks are, you have little choice to do that. Is there a way for me to be biblically responsible with this account, and can I add Timothy funds at Fidelity? So Fidelity had an arrangement with Timothy for years. I'm going to assume, I don't know for a fact, that it still exists. And that is, if you go directly to Fidelity and say, I want to add this fund, and this fund from Timothy to your account, they will do it. I know, you know, countless people that have said they've done that with their Fidelity account. That was their Fidelity 401k through their employer. So it's worth a phone call to find out if you can do that. If the person you talk to doesn't know what you're talking about, I would probably hang up and call back again because you just probably have to get with the right person. But they should still be able to do that. As far as I know, they still will do that. But you'll have to call Fidelity, Benjamin, to find out if that's the case, if they'll do that. Sherry is asking, I'm an income investor. This is on Facebook. I'm an income investor looking to fill a sector for inflation-protected bond fund. C15 is the one she is looking to do on your buy list. Is this appropriate for filling this sector? If so, does it matter when I buy the fund? I see it is considerably... It is up considerably now. Should I just buy completing the entire sector and hold? And you know, does that make sense? Yeah, it makes sense, but I just want to point out to you, Sherry, that's important to note. I have listed that in that whole section under C and C15, one of those. And I would just point out to you that is one of those, if you'll notice on the description side of things, that I say cash with some volatility. In other words, don't mistake this for the same as having money in a money market account. It is not. A money market account, if you put $10,000 in it, 2 years from now, you will have $10,000 in it. If you put money in a money market account, $10,000, and the next day the market goes down 800 points, you'll still have $10,000. That is real cash that is not going to be volatile. This account, if you put $10,000 into it, 2 years from now, you might have $9,950, or you might have $11,000. Could go either way, but it has volatility, and you need to understand that. The volatility is a very tight range, and what I mean by that, it's never going to go down a lot, and it's never going to go up a lot, although we've had a good up year on it this year, but that's unusual. So it trades within a very tight range, and you need to know its volatility. Having said that, I don't have a problem with you doing that. I just want you to be clear because so many people don't read my notes that I have on that. So I'm not saying you didn't read it. I'm just saying I want you to read it just in case you didn't read it. So hopefully that helps. All right, let me go back to phones. Let me go to Jerry. Jerry Cohen is from Texas. Hi, Jerry.
Speak to you today. Just be real quick, my wife received an inherited IRA.
Okay.
And in there is a stock bond. I've never dealt with bonds before. I believe the details, it's got like 25,000 basis points, if I'm even talking about that in the proper terms. It expires, or whatever the payout term is, October of 2020. Mm-hmm. And it's a utility. I wish I could say the name for you right now, but I was out and heard that you had lines open, so I thought I'd call.
Yep.
It starts with EXE is the name of it, some sort of utility. I didn't really recognize it as a utility company itself. Uh-huh. It's the bond is rated as triple B. Uh-huh. So I was trying to figure out, should I just wait till it just expires and they're going to give the money back, or should I try to cash it out? I went into, it's been a while, but the current time, I went into Charles Schwab, and underneath there, as I recall, you had to make bids in small increments, and most of the bids that of the buy bids were like 0 to 250, and I have like 25,000 of these. So if I'm talking in the right terms, so hopefully that's enough information. Does that make sense, or do you have questions for me?
No, I that makes sense. I would not sell it. Whatever you do, don't sell it. Not this close to maturity. Because you're never going to get for it what it's worth. You're going to always get bids under what it's really valued. And when it gets called, you're going to get $25 a share. You're going to get your money back. You're not going to get that if you sell it. So I would hold off. Now, if you told me, well, it doesn't mature until 2032 or something, I would say, well, you might want to think about it, but no, I would keep it.
Well, it may have been callable. I mean, can they delay it if it goes beyond 20?
Yes. So be clear about this. If what you said about 2020, if that's the next call date and not the maturity date, then
I got to check that out.
Yeah. I mean, if that's the case, then yeah, there's a good chance it won't get called. But then the question is, do you really want it to get called? I mean, usually when I own something like that, I never want it to get called because it's usually paying a pretty decent income. Do you know what it's paying?
I believe it says 4%.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. So. Man, I would hope it doesn't get called if I were you.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's a piece of your portfolio there that you know is making 4%. You know, I wouldn't worry about it. I'd leave it alone.
Okay. All right. Well, that's all I do. All right. Thank you. I appreciate
all right.
your time.
You're welcome, Jerry.
And I'm a partner, by the way.
Oh, great. Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Have a good day.
All right. God bless. Let me go to Robert. Robert calling us from Mississippi. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And I think a lady brought something up that I was going to ask you, and I only caught part of it. I need to an explanation. Where do you find the mutual fund with some volatility? What is an example of that? Is that a TM28 possibly?
No, okay. That would be a, it's only a few things under the C category, cash. So if you click on cash, you'll see a long list, or if you go down to the buy list, scroll down to the buy list, it's the first grouping of things on the buy list, and they're cash with some volatility. But it would never be anything outside of that.
Okay, and the call taker gave you a symbol that I...
Yes, that of I'll, a fund, right.
Which is the... I have the TM28 and the one she sent you, and do I need to... get rid of the one that she sent you and just move it into the TM28?
No, I would not. I mean, that's how long have you had that?
Well, pretty long time. I don't even know how I ended up with it, really.
Yeah. I would not get rid of it. I mean, you know, just to give you some idea, it's up 6%. For the last 12 months, 9% for the last 3 years, 12% for the last 10 years. So, you know, it's, and you probably have participated in some of that without even realizing it, maybe. So right. No, I would not get rid of that. That's one you want to keep, that Timothy fund. Yeah.
Okay. So you would hang on to both of those, the TM28?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. I sure appreciate it, and thank you for your ministry.
You're welcome, Robert. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for your partnership.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Wow, great stuff. Let me go to, we've got a couple of minutes here. Let me look at my, go back to, well, this is from FISM, from our website. If you have questions, folks, Facebook, Twitter, on our webpage, you can put a question. You don't have to be a partner. You can put a question up there now. Dan is saying, I'm 42 years old, what would be a recommendation for dividend reinvestment? I'm not sure what you mean by that. I think you mean, and I'm sorry if this is wrong, Dan, but I think you mean, should I reinvest dividends? Yes. 42 years old? Sure. I would reinvest dividends. I'll tell you a little strategy of mine that I've recommended, that I employed on everybody, regardless of how old they were. When I owned my trust company, I was managing, hundreds of millions of dollars, close to $1 billion. And we never reinvested dividends, but we had a very strategic management system where every quarterly we reinvested those. That's a little cumbersome. I don't know that I'd recommend you doing that. At your age, I would say definitely recommend reinvesting. And if they're mutual funds, beyond a shadow of a doubt, reinvest the dividends. Hopefully that helps, Brian. Thanks, folks. Sure do appreciate it. If you got to leave us, have a great day. God bless. Another hour left. Cue your call.
We will never compromise our principles and standards. We will never give away our freedom. We will never abandon our belief in God.
Thank you for joining us. This has been an FISM production.